think it might be story time. So, while you're taking a moment to get comfortable, this podcast and all of these stories are supported by patrons. So if these stories feed you in any way and you would like to offer something back and become a patron too, you can do that on patreon.com/canitellyouastory. That's patreon.com/canitellyouastory. And you will receive bonus stories, behind the scenes bits and pieces, and more things. And it would be awesome. It would make me very happy. That's another bonus. Although whether that's a bonus for you or for me, I'll leave that up to you. Anyway, enough talking. Time for the serious business of stories. Joke. Don't ask him why his name is Joke. He scowls beneath his feathered hat and crumples the map between his hands, throwing it at the flying fish that has just flopped onto the deck. The ball of paper misses and rolls to a stop by his foot. The fish writhes on the deck, slapping downwards with its tail as it takes off again at speed over the railing, accelerating into the sky. "Sky scum!" Joke swears at its retreating form, but the curse fades on his lips as he looks up and takes in the red rigging of the Scourge of the Sky, the finest skyship in all the eight worlds. His scowl softens and his gaze turns dreamy. "Someday," he says out loud to the Scourge, "someday our names will be known as those who dared sail the skies beyond the edge of the universe, beyond the eight worlds. We'll sail where there be dragons, and those dragons we will tame." "Eeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeeee You're a penguin again, aren't you? He says. Shape-shifting figurehead could be the most beautiful mermaid ever seen, or a bare-breasted siren that makes men swoon to look at her, but no, spends all its damn time as a penguin. You're ruining the effect, you know that. Eeeeee, says the voice again. Joke's face settles back into a scowl as he bends to retrieve the map and smooths it out on the railing. It shows a maze of asteroids, with an X marking one near the centre. He pulls his telescope from its holder at his hip and raises it to his eye, staring into the inky blackness peppered with stars. Nothing yet. Although, what was that? Joke whirls around and points his telescope back through the red rigging of the scourge of the sky. In the distance, he makes out a shape. As he watches, the shape gets closer and turns into an albatross. Joke spits over the side. Bad luck, bird. Particularly this one. On its back is a woman, with long black hair streaming out behind her like a river of night. Morgana, Joke says dryly as she flies alongside him, her albatross keeping pace with his ship. Joke, she says, eyeing the map he still carries in one hand. Is that what I think it is? No, says Joke, resisting the urge to hide it behind his back. Morgana rolls her eyes and shrugs. You ever wonder what's out there? She asks, gesturing out into the blackness in front of them. Out past the eight worlds? No, says Joke, the lie sour in his mouth. Liar, says Morgana. I can see it in your eyes, the longing. Did you want something? Joke asks. Morgana's gaze snaps back to Joke's face and he swallows at the raw greed in her eyes. In a fluid, graceful movement, Morgana stands up on the back of her albatross and executes a perfect somersault from its back onto the deck beside him. This, she says, snatching the map from his hand and vaulting back over the railing, pushing herself off with both feet and landing neatly on her bird's back once more. Thanks. Hey, Joke yells, but Morgana is pulling away from the ship, map tucked beneath one arm, black hair streaming out behind her, and she doesn't look back. That bitch, Joke kicks the railing. That sneaking, conniving, treacherous bitch. A quiet eeeeee drifts up from the prow. Joke clicks his fingers and the sails unfurl, dark red and shining, belling out and catching the deep current of the space wind that carries everything that sails this path into the asteroid belt. Fine. She can find the damn thing and I'll find her, he says out loud. The figurehead is silent and the ship speeds into the darkness. A sharp crack and an indignant "Eee!" from the prow signal their arrival in the asteroid belt. Joke leans over the side. "Penguin with a black bloody eye," he mutters to himself. "No sympathy," he calls down. "You could have changed into something more asteroid-proof. You knew where we were going." He pulls his telescope from its holder and scans the oncoming asteroid belt for a giant bird and that black-haired bitch. Something catches his eye. For a moment, he doesn't understand what he's looking at. Drifting through the maze of asteroids is a rock that is different from the others. It has a giant X painted on it. Well, X really does mark the spot. Joke grins and trims the sails, drifting silently towards it. "Joke," says Morgana from the surface of the asteroid, once he gets close enough to see that she's beaten him there. "Don't suppose you have a shovel?" "Bitch!" Rage begins to rise. "No," he says through clenched jaw, as he jumps from the deck to the asteroid, lead rope in hand, and secures the scourge to a large rock on the surface. He kicks at the ground in the centre of the painted X. It's rock hard. "Penguin!" he yells. Morgana looks at him like he's lost the few marbles he had left. "Transform into a shovel!" The figurehead, one flipper over its swollen eye, doesn't move. Joke feels the familiar fury rising like a red mist. The madness, the all-consuming rage, wells in him, his vision tinted red. He takes a breath. Morgana takes a step back. There's a faint pop from the prow of the scourge. The figurehead has transformed itself into a penguin with a shovel. Joke pinches the bridge of his nose and tries to control the increasing urge to destroy everything, pressure building in his face. He's distantly aware of the sound of metal on rock as Morgana and the penguin work to lever up the rock in the centre of the giant X. Joke exhales, slowly feeling the rage relax its hold on him, slowing to a simmer in his belly. Underneath the rock is a hole. Joke and Morgana lean in. In the hole is a small wooden chest. By tacit agreement, Joke and Morgana take one handle each and heave. The chest comes out too easily and they stumble, each carefully not noticing the other as they regain their footing. The chest is not locked. Morgana pushes open the lid. At the bottom of the box is a small card. Joke reaches in. The card feels smooth and expensive in his fingers, thick and black with gold edging. A skull and crossbones is embossed on one side over an ornate capital M. "Magreth," they say in unison. "That bitch! That sneaking, conniving, treacherous bitch!" Joke kicks a rock. It doesn't move. He drops the card and collapses to the ground, clutching his foot, howling rage and pain. Morgana picks the card up off the ground, snarls and tries to tear it in half, but only manages to bend it. Their eyes meet, an unspoken question forming in the air between them. They think the same thoughts. Everyone knows you don't mess with Magreth. Everyone knows there's something uncanny about her. Everyone knows. But there were supposed to be riches in that chest. Riches that were supposed to be mine. After a pause, Morgana nods. "We go after Magreth," she says. "We go after Magreth," says Joke. The penguin, shovelless once more, covers both eyes with its flippers. Joke and Morgana stand on the bridge of the scourge of the sky, staring ahead. The albatross rests in the slipstream behind the ship, drawn along with no effort from the giant outstretched wings. "What are you going to do with it?" asks Morgana. "With your share of the treasure." "Dunno," says Joke. "Outfit my ship and go find some dragons, probably." "Dragons?" "Yeah, all the maps say they're out there. Out beyond the eight worlds, here be dragons. I want to see one, tame one. I want to ride a dragon. Out past the edge of the universe." "Huh," says Morgana. "Why?" "Dunno," says Joke again. "Always thought it'd be nice, you know. And, well, I've created a lot of orphans, this pirate life. Figured it'd be wise. Make myself scarce as they start coming of age, wanting revenge and all that." "Scared?" Joke scowls and spits over the side. "Realistic." Morgana turns and surveys the ship, the red rigging, the shining red sails. the fact that they're going after McGreath. Realistic, you? Joke sighs. It's got to be more to it than swashbuckling. I'm bored. There's no challenge left. But out there, he's silent for a moment. What are you going to do with yours? Buy a golden house, she says, on a golden island with a golden bathtub with claws for feet. Why? She blushes. I want to know I'm rich. Why? Joke asks again. I was a stowaway ship rat, she says, eventually. I never had nice things growing up. Neither did I, says Joke. But golden bath? Morgana turns away. Forget it, she says. Dragons are clearly so much more realistic. You know they only put here be dragons on the maps because they don't know what's out there. That's not true, says Joke, jaw clenched. Morgana raises an eyebrow. Ever seen a space dragon? Well, no, but that's because they're all out there, past the eight worlds. Ever meet someone who's seen one? Know a bloke who knows a bloke, says Joke. Everyone knows a bloke, says Morgana. No one's ever met him. Better than a golden bathtub, says Joke. More practical. Practical? What is practical about an imaginary dragon? No one can kill you while you're lying in a dragon. If you were lying in a dragon, the dragon would have killed you already. Still better than a golden... He stops, mid-sentence. Directly ahead is a floating island. The island grows details as they sail closer. A small sun orbits around it, throwing strange shadows. At the back of the island, the chopped-off cone of a volcano hisses steam, its slope disappearing down into thick jungle. Palm trees line the shores, and drifts of sand spill from the edges into nothingness. A ramshackle collection of vessels are tied up along the rickety pier, leading inland to a wooden archway festooned with skulls suspended from lengths of fraying rope. There's a sign attached to the end of the pier. It reads, "If you harbour no ill intent, pass under the heads of my enemies and be welcome." "Damn," says Morgana. "Do you think liberating my treasure counts as ill intent?" "Mine," says Joke. "Perhaps we should split up. I'll go in the front and create a diversion. You take the bird round the back and find another way in." Morgana nods once and calls the albatross with a trilling whistle. She vaults gracefully onto its back. The bird banks and wheels, disappearing behind the island. Joke slows the scourge of the sky out away from the pier where it won't tangle with the smaller craft and drops the rowboat over the side. It hangs in space, listing slightly to one side. He instructs the penguin to mind the ship. "Eee," it says, lowers himself into the rowboat and takes an oar in each hand. It doesn't take long to row to the island. He ties the rowboat to a pylon towards the end of the pier between a red and gold flying carpet and a battered seaplane with a rusting skull and crossbones scratched into the side. He steps up onto the warped boards of the pier. The arch of skulls looms over him. He can't stop himself from cringing as he walks under them. The skulls rattle together softly, a hollow, empty sound. Nothing else happens. Joke feels his limbs turn soft and wobbly as the tension leaves them when he stumbles. After a furtive glance, to be sure that no one saw, he tips his hat at a jaunty angle and strolls up the pier and into a hum of voices. McGreath, the pirate queen, is holding court. "Well," he thinks, "nothing so diversionary than just demanding what you want. Bet she's never had anyone request to let them rob her of what's rightfully theirs." Joke swaggers into a crowd of mismatched motley pirates. A red and green parrot shrieks and lands on his shoulder in a tumble of feathers, a piece of paper in its beak. It has the words, "Your request is important to us. You are number 6 in the queue," written on it. Bemused, Joke takes the paper and leans back against a palm tree, rolling his number into a tube between his fingers, ignoring the whispers and sideways glances of the other pirates in the crowd. He doesn't wait long. 6, calls a bored voice belonging to a small, hunched pirate dressed entirely in mismatched and clashing stripes, leaning heavily on a bent stick with a red skull attached to the top. Joke pulls all of his bluster and bravado around himself and steps forward. Magreth, the pirate queen, looks at him. She's lounging in a throne constructed of driftwood, decorated with intricate carvings of bones that have been filled with gold. She has one leg hooked over the arm of her throne. She's wearing striped trousers and a white shirt open at the neck to reveal a golden necklace with a small golden charm that Joke can't quite make out. An eye patch is pushed up on her forehead. The eye it usually covers is piercing and red. Joke shivers. Caught in the gaze of the staring red eye, he finds himself questioning the decision to be standing where he is. "You dream of dragons," she tells him, looking into his soul with her piercing red eye. The other eye is brown. The other pirates whisper and snicker. "Dragons, fairy tales for feeble minds." "I've a job for you," she says. She glances around at the pirate rabble and sends them away with a look and one word. "Out." Out beyond the eight worlds, there's a rumour, she tells him, when the pirates have gone. "You've heard it. A rumour of a ninth world. You will go and find it for me." Longing ignites in Joke's body, filling him with wild hope. His mind spins, trying to find the catch. "Is this exile?" "Would you like it to be?" asks Magreth. "You will take the other pirate and the bird with you," she continues. "They're currently in the kitchens. One of the cooks is feeding them soup." "And there's the catch," he thinks, heart sinking. "Tomorrow, at first light, you will be on the pier, ready to sail," says Magreth. "Your ship is being provisioned as we speak. I look forward to receiving word of the ninth world. And Joke?" He is pinned to the spot by the red eye. "There is nowhere you can hide where I can't see you." Joke swallows and nods. Magreth pulls the eye patch down over her staring red eye. Joke exhales a breath he didn't know he was holding. "Joke," says Magreth. "Two questions. Why are you called Joke?" A smile pulls at the corner of her mouth, the kind of smile you might see on a shark before you saw nothing ever again. Joke fights the red mist rolling in his belly and feels his hands ball into fists at his sides. He draws in a breath, the urge to destroy the universe building and filling him like a rising tide. "Ah," says Magreth, "I see. Joke. Can't take a joke. Original. And now, tell me, what's with the penguin?" Joke sighs, the red mist receding, his hands loosening. "It likes scaring the flying fish," he says. "Or so it says. Personally, I think it does it because it knows it upsets me." "Huh." Magreth hooks a finger under the golden chain around her neck and pulls it over her head. She wraps it in a white handkerchief she takes from a pocket and hands it to Joke. "Give this to your companion," she says, dismissing him with a wave of a hand. Morgana meets him on the pier. "Well then," says Joke. "Good soup?" "Well then," says Morgana. "Can't take a joke. Who knew?" Joke's scowl deepens. "For you," he says, pulling the white handkerchief from his pocket and handing it to her. "From Magreth." Morgana pulls the cloth open, the charm sliding out into the palm of her hand. It's a small golden bathtub with claws for feet. Her hand closes over it in a fist. When she sees Joke looking, she glares at him with a scowl that rivals his own. They walk together in silence under the gently swinging sculls and along the pier and drop down into the rowboat. Joke rows them back to the scourge of the sky. The penguin greets them with a soft "ee" as they climb aboard and stow the rowboat. The scourge of the sky turns slowly and sails away from the floating island, out towards the edge of the universe, and the place on the map marked "Here be dragons." No one watches them leave. thank you for listening and for your attention. I hope that you enjoyed this story. And if you did, and you want more stories, perhaps you'd like to become a patron. Patrons receive bonus stories and other things, including my endless thanks, which you can find out more about on patreon.com/canitellyouastory. That's patreon.com/canitellyouastory. Until next time, I hope that your life is full of wonder, magic, delight, and strange things.